I wonder if you've ever done something or had something happen to you that's made you think, oh, I'm not going to do that again. I can think of a couple of examples. A couple of weeks ago, I have a car and I do drive, and I was visiting another church building, and I was reversing my car, and I was looking behind me, and what I didn't realise was that what I thought was the wall below my line of vision, there was a bit that jutted out. So I smacked my bumper, and I thought, oh, I'm not going to do that again. I drove back to the manse later that day, and did exactly the same thing on the wall of the manse. The manse is fine, George, don't worry. And thankfully, because I drive a Toyota Aygo, all I had to do to fix it was to take out one screw, push the bumper back into place, and fix it again. So, but I still thought, oh, I'm never going to do that again. I asked Ruth if she had any examples of doing something that made her think, oh, I'll never do that again. And the example that she came up with was she was out walking, and she had to get a stone out of her shoe, or she was changing her shoes, and so she leant on a fence, ignoring the sign that said, warning, electric fence. Needless to say, she said, oh, I'm never going to do that again. We all may have had these experiences where something happens to us, or we do something and it can be so shocking and so sudden that we think, I'm never going to do that again. And that, I think, is Jonah's experience in chapter 2 this morning. We learned last week, we thought about Jonah chapter 1, and we learned that he had run from God. Jonah had this call, but he ran from God. And in doing so, he sinned against God because he was not doing as God had asked. And so Jonah was trying to run from God. He was thrown over the side of this ship, and he expected to drown, but God extended his mercy to him in that rather than allowing Jonah to die, he saved Jonah by placing him in the stomach of this fish. And while inside this fish, we read that Jonah prayed this prayer. And because he prayed this prayer, I do believe that this was a very deep encounter with God that Jonah had. That's why I've titled today's sermon, Encounter with God. When we pray, we open ourselves up to speaking with God. And very often when we pray, we are giving our words over to God. I would encourage you, whenever you do pray, always make sure to leave that time of silence either before or after, because God can and will speak to you. And so this was the kind of shock moment for Jonah, this encounter with God that was so incredible and so amazing that it transformed him and it put him in the position of thinking, I'm never going to do that again. And as we look at Jonah 2, what we see is how we, and how our whole world can be changed from this deep encounter with the Holy God. There are various steps that Jonah took in this prayer that give us an outline of how this encounter with God changed him. The first step in Jonah's journey was that he realized his problem. You see, if Jonah had realized his problem before he'd even run from God, I don't think he would have done it. He was called by God, and yet for some reason he thought it was okay to run from God. He didn't realize at the time, I don't think, that that was a problem. And so when we turn to Jonah chapter 2 and we read of this prayer, we see that Jonah begins to recognize his problem. You see, he says in verse 2, in my distress, O Lord, I cried to you. In verse 3, you threw me down to the depths, to the very bottom of the sea. Verse 4, I thought I had been banished from your presence. Jonah realizes that by running from God, he has separated himself from God. He's been thrown into the depths. He talks about separation. And so he realizes that his problem is that he has disobeyed God and he has sinned, and as a result of that, he is separated from God. And it's important that when we have an encounter with God, if we want to have a healthy relationship with God, all of us initially have to realize that we have sinned against God. If we think that we're okay, that somehow we are not a sinner, we've never offended God, we've never done anything that would cause God to be upset with us, then we're fooling ourselves. And we will never have a healthy relationship with God, because there is nothing that we can humanly do to reach up to God. It's one of the things that makes Christianity distinct from other world religions. Other religions and other beliefs talk about how we as human beings can somehow work our way up to the God of heaven. The Christian faith says no. God reaches down to us because we could never have reached him. And so the first step in this encounter with God is that we have to realize that we've gone wrong. And that's often the hardest step, because it means that we have to swallow our pride. Our pride would tell us that we're great and we're fantastic and there's nothing wrong with us. It's why pride can be such an issue for people. And so we have to swallow our pride and accept that we are not as good as we may think we are. The word that is often used to describe this, realizing that we've gone wrong, it's a word called repentance. And it's very important, I think, I know that sometimes in the church that we can get overloaded with jargon unnecessarily, and we can use words that are maybe unnecessary, but repent is one that I think is very necessary, because there's no other word like it. When we repent, or when we call other people to repent, as Jonah was supposed to do with the people in Nineveh, when we call people to repent, what we are saying to them is, you are going the wrong way. You need to turn around 180 degrees. And so literally, Jonah had been called by God and he had gone the wrong way. And in this prayer, he repents and he says to God, I'm going to turn around. I'm going to stop running away from you. I'm going to come back to you. He realized his problem. He'd been going the wrong way. And then he repented and he turned back. That was the first step in Jonah's journey. He realized his problem. And then the second step in Jonah's journey with this encounter with God is that he realizes that God has forgiven him. In verse 2, you answered me. Verse 6, but you, O Lord, my God, brought me back from the depths alive. Verse 7, when my life was slipping away, then, O Lord, I prayed to you, and in your holy temple you heard me. And then finally, that great exclamation in verse 9, salvation comes from the Lord. Jonah, at this point, is still experiencing the earthly consequences of his sin. He's still stuck in the belly of the fish. But what he has begun to realize is that although he's still dealing with these earthly consequences, God has indeed forgiven him for what he has done. Because if God had not forgiven him, he wouldn't be in the stomach of that fish. God would have allowed him to drown. Instead, what we see is that Jonah is realizing that in sending the fish, God has extended his forgiveness to him. In some ways, this prayer of Jonah is, we might think it a little bit odd, because it's not a prayer for help. And it's not a prayer that says, I'm sorry. It's a prayer where Jonah thanks God for forgiving him. It acknowledges his sin, yes, but it's also a thanksgiving prayer where he says, thank you for forgiving me. And I think that's significant because it shows us the mind of Jonah. It shows that Jonah has come to realize that God has indeed forgiven him. There's an image that I like to use when I talk to people about the forgiveness that we receive from God and how some Christians respond to it. Your sin is a bit like one of those old ball and chains that you see criminals that used to have to stop them from running away. And it's clamped to your leg. And that's your sin. And you carry the weight of that sin in your life. That guilt. You carry that with you. And then you have an encounter with Jesus Christ. And he says, because of the cross, I have forgiven you. Because of the cross, I have taken away your sin. Because of the cross, I can now release you from that ball and chain. And so Jesus comes into your life and he unlocks the lock and the ball and chain falls off and you are free from the consequence of your sin. And what too many Christians do is then turn around and pick up the ball and chain and keep on carrying that ball and chain. Because we cannot, I think, always easily accept that God really, really has forgiven us. And so maybe that's been your experience today. There's been something in your life and in your head, you know that God has forgiven you, but you're struggling to believe it. They say that the longest journey that any Christian has to make is from their head to their heart. You know God has forgiven you. Maybe you don't quite believe it. Well, I implore you this morning, trust God and believe that he has indeed forgiven you. You don't need to keep saying sorry for that thing that is bothering you from years and years ago. You don't need to keep asking God for forgiveness again and again for the same old sin, because as Jonah realized in the belly of that fish, he didn't need to say sorry. He didn't need to ask for God's forgiveness because he had already received it. And what he had to do instead was to say thank you. Thank you, God, for the forgiveness that you have given me. And so maybe that's what you need to do. Instead of saying sorry and instead of asking God for forgiveness, say thank you. Thank you, God, that you have taken my sin and you have forgiven me. I feel that when we as Christians truly do receive the forgiveness of God and we have that burden lifted from us, it should inspire us to do two things. The first is to actually tell other people. I have friends who are not Christians and they can be so burdened sometimes by some of the troubles that they have in life. And actually the forgiveness of God is a very freeing thing. Now, granted, I don't necessarily talk to them about my faith every single time I meet them, because if I did that, they wouldn't be my friends anymore. So when we tell people, we need to remember to be respectful. We need to remember not to be too abrasive or pushy. But at the same time, there have been opportunities where my friends have maybe opened up about something and I've just said, you know, my experience of the Christian faith is in a very similar situation. I was set free. So we tell other people about God's forgiveness, but also we as Christians should be prepared to forgive other people. We prayed it earlier in this service, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. If you come from England, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. The story is that the reason in England it's forgive us our trespasses and in Scotland it's forgive us our debtors is because in Scotland there is no law about trespassing, but we know what it means when somebody owes us money. The more modern versions of the Lord's Prayer would say, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. There's an implication that when we receive the forgiveness of God, we are to forgive other people. And if we as Christians think that we can somehow withhold our own forgiveness from people, then we haven't understood the forgiveness of God, because God would be well within his rights to withhold forgiveness from us. We do not deserve his forgiveness, but because he loves us, he extends his forgiveness to us. Now, I know it can be hard to forgive people sometimes, especially those that have really, really hurt us. But again, if we are able to reach that point where we let go of the anger and we let go of the grudge and we say, I have forgiven this person, that does wonders for you. And it also will allow that other person to maybe grasp just how much they hurt you because it cost you to forgive them. God forgives us, so we in turn should forgive other people. So Jonah, in this deep encounter with God, in this transforming encounter with God, begins by realizing the problem that he has, and that is that he has sinned against God. He goes on to realize that God has actually forgiven him and taken away his sin. And then finally, he realizes that... Could you put that one up, Stuart? Because it just, this clicker is just putting the black screen up. Thank you. Jonah realizes that God is a God of second chances. In verse 9, we read that Jonah says, I will sing praises to you, I will offer you a sacrifice and do what I have promised. And then finally in verse 10, we read that the fish vomited Jonah onto dry land. When Jonah says, I will do what I have promised, I almost imagine that part of what was going through Jonah's mind was, having received the forgiveness of God, he realized, I really should do what God says. And so in recognition of that forgiveness, Jonah makes a promise and say, if you give me another chance, Lord, this time I will go to Nineveh and I will preach there. And then we know that, God gave him that second chance. He didn't leave Jonah to get digested by this fish. No, the fish expelled him and he found himself back on dry land. But there was something that I realized as I read chapter 2 in preparation for this week. Now, I want to say to you that the chapter and verse numbers in the Bible are totally artificial, in the sense that if you were to go back to the original Hebrew, where this is translated from, there are no chapters and verses. The chapters and verses were added to the English translation to make it easier for us to, you know, find things. And because most of us, I imagine, are familiar with the story of Jonah, we know what happens next. We know that Jonah's going to go to Nineveh. But if you were reading this story in the English translation, you'd never read it before, and you finished at the end of chapter 2, you are left not knowing what Jonah decided to do. And I think that's pretty significant. Because what we understand from this is that, yes, God gives second chances, but God then does not force Jonah to do his will. It is a free choice given to Jonah. God is basically saying to Jonah, you're back where you started. What are you going to do now? You've had this encounter with me. What are you going to do now? And Jonah has to make that choice. Jonah could get out of the whale and think, oof, that was lucky. Maybe if I get on another ship, I'll, you know, better luck second time round. He still has that chance to try and run from God. And so we realize that, yes, God gives us second chances, but he does not force any of us to do anything. He wants us to respond to him rather than be forced to do what he wants. And so what we realize from this is that God is a God of countless second chances. The God in whom we believe is not a God that after he gives us one chance, writes us off and says, well, you had your chance and you've had it. No. The stories in the Bible show us so many characters who, frankly, you think, how on earth did God manage to use some of these people? And yet God gives them chance after chance, and eventually they get it right. And so if ever you have run from God, if ever you have found yourself choosing your own way over God's way, know that God is giving you countless second chances to get it right. And you can go through this process of realizing your sin and thanking God for his forgiveness, and then you have your other chance, and you could still mess up, and so you go back and you realize your sin again, and you are then forgiven again, and you have another chance. God is gracious in that way. But let us never take God's grace for granted. And that's the second challenge that we have here. God showed Jonah mercy. He showed him grace. Jonah could have taken that for granted. And so could we. Well, it doesn't really matter if I go and do this sin, because God's going to forgive me anyway, right? If that's your attitude, if that's what you think, then you haven't understood the forgiveness of God. If you think it is okay to take God's grace for granted, then I don't know that you've really got what it means to be loved and forgiven by God. Because God gave up a lot in order to forgive us. He came into this world as Jesus Christ. He lived that life, that perfect life. He lived the life that deserved the highest place in heaven, and instead he got the wood of a cross. And he did that for us, to take our sin away, to give us the forgiveness that we do not deserve. So do not take God's grace for granted. Yes, he offers it freely and will continue to do so for the rest of your life, and that's because God is wonderful and loving. But we should never take his grace for granted, because it is his gift to us to share with other people, not to abuse for our own ends. This is a bit of a tangent, but I do want to share this before we close. One of the challenges, I think, of Jonah is the fish. A lot of people will read Jonah and say, well, obviously this story's not true, because how could someone survive in the belly of a fish for 3 days? And because at this point in the story, Jonah is still very firmly in the belly of the fish, I wanted to share a couple of thoughts on that. The first thing I would say is that if anyone doubts the truth of this story, then I would say, I'm not going to make an issue out of that. So long as we can agree that the fundamental truths that this story tells are there. That is the truth of what it means to run from God, what it means to be forgiven by God, what it means to then repent and turn back and go God's way. So long as we can agree that this story reveals those truths, then I wouldn't make an issue. But I do want to share with you this morning that I do believe that this story is true, and I do believe that Jonah literally did spend 3 days in the belly of a whale. Sorry, a fish. That's a habit there. We talk about Jonah and the whale. The Bible never says the word whale. The Bible says it was a fish. I don't know the significance of that, by the way. I'm just pointing that out. We believe in a God who is all-powerful and who is able to perform miracles. We believe in a God who is able to intervene in our world and to help each one of us. We believe in a God who ultimately came into this world as the person of Jesus Christ, died the death of a criminal in order to take away our sin, rose again 3 days later in order to promise us new life. If God can do all that, and we believe God can do all that, and there's no reason for us to doubt that God could do all that, then keeping a man alive in a fish for 3 days is nothing. It's easy in comparison to some of the other miracles that we as Christians believe God was able to to do. That's the first reason I believe that Jonah did spend 3 days in a whale fish. Secondly, Jesus speaks to the Pharisees about the sign of Jonah. In Matthew's gospel, Jesus says, Then some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law said to him, "Teacher, we want a sign from you." Jesus said, "A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a sign, but none will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and now something greater than Jonah is here." Jesus was a great storyteller. We know that in the Gospels. He liked to tell stories and parables to illustrate his point. In this record of Jesus talking about Jonah, there is no hint that Jesus believed that it was a story with a moral at the end of it. In fact, Jesus used Jonah as a way of expressing to the Pharisees of something that would happen to Jesus himself. He was literally going to spend 3 days and three nights in the tomb, dead. Because Jesus uses the story of Jonah in that literal way, I think that we too can understand this literally. Also, Jesus challenges the Pharisees because he says, "The people of Nineveh will judge you because they repented." Again, Jesus using the story of Jonah literally. There literally was a prophet called Jonah who went to Nineveh and got them to turn around, to repent. And because they repented, they will stand in judgment over the Pharisees, because the Pharisees had the Son of God in front of them and they didn't respond. So that's the second reason I believe the story of Jonah can be understood literally, because Jesus understood it literally. That was an aside, because sometimes people will try and challenge scripture based on these things, like, was there really a fish? But the point of Jonah 2, the real message that we get from Jonah chapter 2, is that we see how an encounter with God can transform our lives. Firstly, it begins when we realize that we have fallen short of God's standard. We realize our problem, that we have sinned against God. Secondly, in this encounter with God, we experience his forgiveness, where he takes our guilt and our sin and our shame away from us. We are set free from these things because he forgives us. And then finally, we know the love of God because he gives us unlimited second chances to get it right, because he is gracious and loving. And so the challenge for us as believers in Jesus today is the same challenge that we see at the end of chapter 2. Jonah once again is left with a choice to go his way or to go God's way. God gives you second chances all the time. What will you choose to do? Go your own way or go God's way? Choice is yours. Amen, and may God bless the preaching of his word to us this day.